Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is the responsible day for the 17th of Elul. This is Rav Chaim David Halevi, the author of Aseh Lecha Rav, who was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. He took over the Sephardic chief rabbi of Tel Aviv when Rav Avad Yosef, alav shalom, became the chief rabbi of Israel. He was a contemporary and a friend of his. And then he stayed as the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv throughout the rest of his life. And he has a series of tshuvot called Aseh Lecha Rav. And on the 17th of Elul, he was involved in a memorial service for a Rav Yisachar Tamar. So Yisachar Tamar is an interesting figure it's hard to sort of track down. He was a rabbi in the Florentine neighborhood of Tel Aviv. He had a shul there. And he was the author of a series of 7 volumes on the Yerushalmi called Alei Tamar, which I've never seen or used, but are apparently, at least from the internet, full of or evident his great bekiut, his great breadth of knowledge of Torah issues. He was a modest, humble, quiet man, so he didn't make a huge splash, but was well respected by many, including Rav Chaim David Halevi. One of his grandsons at the time of his passing was learning at Yeshivat Haritzion, apparently. And the family, for all that Rav Tamar himself seems to have come from a more old world or a Haredi or right wing or whatever you want to say background, the family decided to donate the 8,000 volumes in Rav Tamar's library to Yeshivat Haritzion, where I went to yeshiva. And on the 17th of Elul, on Tavshin Memvav, 1986, so they were opening the library, and they had a ceremony to celebrate or commemorate or mark the opening of the library in memory of Rav Yisachar Tamar. So Shul Aseh Lecha Rav, Volume 8, Siman Samach Zayin, the 67th chapter, is some of the remarks that Rav Chaim David Halevi made at this event, at this commemoration event for Rav Yisachar Tamar. And they have many halachic issues, to me, interesting halachic discussion in them, and therefore they fit as our responsible day for the 17th of Elul. Rav Halevi, the Aseh Lecha Rav, says we've gathered here tonight to try to. He was asked to say some things about the image of Rav Yisachar Tamar, who he was, what kind of a man he was, what kind of influence he had, and things like that. And Rav Halevi starts by expressing his hesitations, because he says, trying to limn, to sort of write out, to make an illustration of a person's nature and personality and what kind of a figure he was, Rav Halevi says, is almost like a eulogy. That's what eulogies are supposed to be. When we learn about what a hesbet is in Yerideya, in Shin Dalet Mem, in 344 in Yerideya, what the Shulchan Aruch says is, Maskirin midot tovot shebo, you mentioned his good qualities, almost if you exaggerate a little bit, I think is what it means, and you say, and for a chacham and a chassid, Maskirin chochmatam v'chassidutam, you mentioned their wisdom and their piety, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So, to say we want to sort of mark a little bit and commemorate who this man was and lay out who he was, Rav Chaim David says, that's almost like a hesped, it's almost like a eulogy, because if you look at the definition of a eulogy, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says we do for a eulogy. So the reason why that bothers Rav Chaim David Halevi is because the halacha is that we give eulogies only during Shiva, that's the Gemara in Moed Katan, the Chav Zayin Amid Bet, and for Tamidei Chachamim, even for great Torah scholars, we say we don't do hespedim more than Yud Bet Chodesh, more than for 12 months. So there's a whole discussion you can have here about whether there's a line between what hesped is and what a marking out of a figure is. But this is Rav Chaim David Halevi's tshuva, not ours, so we don't have to do that. I do want to mention here, also not in the tshuva, but it's just too good a story to leave unmentioned, is that Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzedek Livracha, who was one of the Rashi Yeshiva, Yeshivat Haritzon at the time, but he, I remember a couple of times, noted that hespedim are in fact supposed to very much be about the person who passed away. And one of his critiques of certain kinds of hespedim is that they make all people largely the same. all, you know, if you have a gadol, you'll have to have all the same exact characteristics. And Rav Lichtenstein found that off-putting. He thought that gadolei Torah each have their own way of being a gadol b'Torah, each have their own way of being a giant. And some will be more in terms of punctiliousness in mitzvot, so some will be more in terms of assiduousness of studying, some will be more in terms of brilliance of their minds, whatever it may be. But he didn't like this, that you could attend a funeral and not, he used to say, and it only struck me years later at how young a man he was when this occurred, but the Rav Aaron Cutler's funeral, he said everybody who got up there, you couldn't have known it was Rav Aaron Cutler that they were talking about. They couldn't have been talking about any generic guddle, if there is such a thing. They could have talked about, you know, they have just a list of the qualities a great Torah scholar must have, a great Torah leader must have, and that was the quality, the list they were putting out. And he says, until Irving Bunim, who was not a primarily a Torah figure, primarily a balabas, primarily a lay leader of the Jewish community, but had been very close with Aaron Cutler, he said he got up and he already said some things that were, that gave you a sense of who Aaron Cutler was. So in that context, Chaim Devil Levi's stations are meaningful. And he's saying that if I'm going to stand up here and try to tell you exactly who Rav Yisachar Tamar was, then I'm going to be violating, it would seem, the idea of giving a hesped. So he's confronted with this problematic issue that he seems to be a well-accepted halacha, that you don't give hespedim, we don't eulogize, which he understands to include any full attempt to lay out who a person was, even for the greatest Torah scholars, after a year. He points out a Gemara in Ketubot that says that when it came to Rebbe, who was clearly the greatest Torah scholar in many, many senses that the time of the Talmud knew about, meaning in their reaction to his passing, it was because he was a Torah scholar and he was a political leader and he had put together the Mishnah and all the things that he did. Gemara in Ketubot tells us that for 30 days, they had eulogies day and night. And then after that, they would have, or in the day or in the night, so people could get on with their lives a little bit, for 12 months, and then they stopped. So there's no debate that after 12 months, you don't do it. So Chaim David Levy says, I always try to not be part of, and not to, even in writing, to talk about somebody who passed away, to try to fully write out who their personality was, and what they were like, and what kind of a person they were after Yud Bet Chodesh, after 12 months, because I think that that qualifies as a eulogy, and is really not supposed to be done. So I, Gideon Rothstein, wonder and wish I had had the chance to know Chaim David Halevi and many of the other respondents who we are, whose works we are having the fortune to, good fortune to study in the context of this series. I wonder what that means about, let's say I wanted to write a biography of the man. You know, I was going to read all of his writings and I'm going to look up whatever newspaper clippings and talk to his family and write a biography so people could learn from his life and put out the book. Does Rav Chaim David Halevi think that qualifies as a eulogy? So I have no idea how he would have answered that question about biographies, but it seems to me an open question. Okay, so this was his practice. However, he says, because I so admired Rav Tamar, now remember, he's the Tzaddik Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv, and Rav Tamar has, a small shul, but a shul in a neighborhood of Tel Aviv, which I think at the time, in the 80s, wasn't a very wealthy, now I think it's a trendy neighborhood, Florentine. That's what I found on the internet, but I think at the time it wasn't anything like that. He was just a shul, and he was a man. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, but he was a man, and he was a rabbi. But because I liked him so much and admired so much, I have pushed myself to find a way to maybe allow myself to talk about him. And this is what I found. So fundamentally, the tshuva, the discussion is, how can he allow himself to speak about Rav Tamar as he wants to, despite his general practice of not doing so. So he points out that the Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Shin Mem Dalet, writes, V'chotavoda kolbo, amar... This is in the Beis Yosef. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the Beis Yosef, the commentary on the Torah. The Kobo writes, "Amar Rav, Baal Halachot Ein Morin Hespedim Ela B'toch Yudbet." Right? For somebody who taught Halachot, we only have Hespedim, we only have eulogies in the course of the 12 months after they pass away. But after that, Aval Lachar, the Kobo says, "Hanishama Ola Ve'ina Yoredet." The soul of the deceased goes up, meaning is in heaven. So metaphorically goes up, but is in heaven and therefore above and beyond where we are. Ve'ina yored, it no longer comes down. So Ratzal Azkiro, afilu lachar yudbet, harishit biyado. But so if he wants to mention the person after yudbet, that's allowed. Uzman ir'or, yom lamed v'yom mishalem shana. It's the day of the 30th day after they pass away, and the anniversary, the yard site, right, the year that they've passed. And in a place where they bury first in the house in some way, like in the ground, but ulatika aronot levet hakvarot, and then afterwards to bring the aron, to bring the coffin to the cemetery. So there you can do it, has to be even after Yud Bet Chodesh. That's what the Kolbo says. Now Rav Halevi points out that Yushalmi sounds like Irur and Hesped are different things. That Irur, so they say, Amrusham Ezehu Irur, what is Irur? Maskirehu ben hametim. Whereas Hesped, who shall say, lo Hesped b'pnei atzmo. And this Rasa Adam has a whole discussion, which he doesn't get into here. But his point is that this Yushalmi that says you might be able to do it after 12 months, that actually might be talking about something called, they talk about Hesped, but there might be something else called the Iror. So once you know that, it could be that whatever Rav Chaim David Levi is going to be doing could qualify as the one that's permitted after 12 months, whereas Iror might be the thing that you can't do. But in any case, let's see how he goes. Me'atam sharav datan, we can learn, he says, from that reasoning that you can't have Hesped, the reason you can't have eulogies after 12 months is that the soul of the deceased is already beyond us, right? Olave na yeredet, has gone up and doesn't come down anymore. And that would mean that there's no more value to a Hesped. If, in other words, what we're thinking is that one of the purposes of a eulogy, of a Hesped, is that the soul of the deceased gets a certain nachat ruach, a certain comfort or pleasure out of hearing that people still remember him or her and think well of him or her, and that would be a value. But if the soul is no longer coming down to this world in any way and therefore won't hear it, so there's no more purpose, then you shouldn't do it. So he says, but by that reasoning, that's only one reason. And even if it's true that there's no more value in that sense, it doesn't do any damage. And therefore, the Yerushalmi might add, if you want to mention them among other dead people, you're allowed to. Sounds like it's not prohibited. So when the Kolbo, and this idea of the Kolbo is mentioned, he says, in the Gemara in Shabbos and Kufnun Bet Amud Bet, separate from the question of Hesped, and that it seems to be a question of the body as well, and the connection of the soul to its body, where it says that after 12 months, the body is completely decomposed and gone, and the soul goes up and doesn't come down. That's what the Gemara in Shabbos says. So, again, it would be the question of, and this is something that people don't think about, and this is sort of metaphysical discussions that we'd often, I don't know, people I know, often sort of skip over or would think that the Gemara doesn't have any particular insight into. And that's always a question as to how we take these kinds of things, how seriously we take them in this context. Rav Chaim David Levi is taking it, and by seriously, I don't mean seriously or dismissively, I mean seriously or metaphorically. I mean, do we say that it means it directly and literally in some sense, or do we sort of reread it in more allegorical fashion? That's what I meant by seriously or not. So Rav Chaim David is taking it to be direct guidance, and he's sort of saying that, no, we're making, the Gemara, he thinks, making a metaphysical comment that after 12 months, the soul of the person who's passed away, meaning, once we believe in an immortal soul, and we believe that people's souls continue on, and then one day we'll come back in the resurrection of the dead, and all of those elements of Jewish belief, and those are not metaphorical by anybody's standards, those are in some sense literal, right? The soul in some, whatever it means for a soul to exist beyond, in another realm of some sort, and to return to a physical body in the future, that, as far as I know, is a literal belief of traditional Judaism. So he's saying that part of what we're understanding is the way the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, and the Bavli are understanding that process for the soul is that after the person passes away, there's still some time period in which the soul is, in some sense, connected to this earth, and even more so to its original body. But as the body, and that, you know, you could feed all sorts of non-Jewish ideas from here, right? That would give you a sense of how you could have such things as ghosts, right? If the soul of the person is still around, they could visit people in some sense and or in dreams. Anyway, all that stuff is not in this tshuva. We don't have to get into it. But what is in the tshuva is that the Gemara in Shabbos seems to say that after 12 months, when the body is completely decomposed, that connection between the soul and the body is therefore sundered, and the soul then goes off to wherever it goes off to and is no longer part of this world at all. And that would mean, therefore, that we don't make eulogies because it doesn't have the value of it. But Rav Chaim David Levi's thing is, well, when we say that, it could mean that there's no prohibition against it. It could just mean that we don't see the value in it. However, a Zohar, and the Zohar is a text that some people see as more authoritative than others do. Some people will quote it more broadly, widely, and authoritatively, not when it contradicts our Gemara, but when it doesn't. So he says, the Zohar says that when these soul, when the Gemara refers to the soul coming back to this earth, this coming back to the earth, the Zohar thought, was an element of punishment that comes to the soul during the 12 months. And that would be, although we talk about souls going to Gehinnom, to being punished in Gehinnom for as much as 12 months, this Zohar would say that maybe some of that would be coming back to this earth, which is really a very interesting thing that Rav Chaim Vavilov doesn't get into, so I won't, but if you just want to think about it, you might think about whether it's the fact that the soul is forced to be still connected to its body for a while could itself be a sort of Gehinnom, a sort of punishment for the soul, and that could happen for 12 months. But the Zohar also thinks that there could be times after 12 months when the soul comes down. In other words, when the Gemara says it only comes down for 12 months and no more, that means in a punishment kind of a way. But that doesn't mean that it is eternally after that, independent of this world. It eternally after that never comes down. There could be times that it comes down also after 12 months, which are not a punishment and don't have anything to do with punishment. And one of those that the Zohar suggests is that when people learn a person's Chidushei Torah, if somebody offered new Torah ideas into the world, and other people who come afterwards study those Torah ideas, that the soul comes down to sort of join or hear its Torah being learned. So if that's true, Rav Chaim Vavilov says, that the soul does come down after 12 months, then maybe there would be a reason for a hesped after 12 months. Not in terms of the, because then the soul could be partake of it. And then he also saw in the Bach, who quoted the Ramban in Torah Adam. The Ramban Torah Adam is a halakhic work of Rambans that gives the halakhot starting with illness through death and then mourning, and then has a discussion after that of reward and punishment of Sharak Bull, of what the future reward looks like. So in the Torah Adam, the Ramban quotes Rav Natronai had said that we don't do a hesped, we don't do eulogies after a year, and the Chachamim, and then explained it by saying that Chazal had said that we don't forget people until a year. So the answer to the truth is we obviously don't forget people after a year either, but it means that a different level of our experience with them, that within the year after they pass away, they're still very much alive for us, whereas after a year, for those who are close to the person, even for those who are close to the person, they're not alive in the same way, and therefore it's not really appropriate to do hespedim for them. In this sense, it would be the hesped revives the memories for the people who knew the person best, and as part of their continuing to have these memories, they can still eulogize the person and do a hesped of the person. But after that, they don't do that. And therefore the Ramban says, if you have a place that's far away, today this wouldn't be the same thing with our communications, but if you have a place that's far away and they didn't hear about the passing of the person until after 12 months, he says, they would be patur, they would be exempt from the obligation to stop. So when it comes to Torah scholars or great figures, one of the obligations of mourning is that not only the relatives, but that even people who were just affected by that person stop what they're doing and mark the passing. So commonly you would have a shul or a study hall not learn and not study and have instead things in their memory. So that obligation goes away. Even on the day they hear about it, they wouldn't have to do anything about it because it's after a year. Rav Chaim Vavilov points out that's not quite the same as the Kolbo, but his main point in noting that Ramban is that while the Ramban does say that after 12 months the person is forgotten and that's why we wouldn't do his hespedim, isn't fully remembered, and that's why we didn't do his hespedim, the Ramban also says it's not that you're not allowed to. The Ramban had said p'turim mila hespedim, that they're not obligated to have a eulogy or lahavtil or to close the shuls and close the study halls, but not that it's prohibited, right? And maybe the whole reason also is that that would be if we're going to do a hesped in its fullest sense of the word, which is to praise the man in his wisdom or the woman in their wisdom and their character traits and everything like that. But Rav Chaim Vavilov says, if you include also words of Torah and shiurim and Torah ideas, which makes it more of a shiur than a hesped, as is the custom in our days, then he thinks that even after 12 months, there might be permissibility to have a hesped, to have a hesped, to have a eulogy, to have a discussion of the person. And then, final source that he quotes is that Rav Avadya Hedaya in Shut Yaskil Avdi, who was a very authoritative Sephardi posig, says that even when you're doing a hesped after 12 months, and he's talking to air, the Yaskilavdi Rav Yehadaya was talking about, you're going to have Aziz Karot, you're going to have memorial services for people after 12 months. He says that whole question, the whole problem, the whole reason why it might be an issue is only for a ordinary person who had no great qualities to them, wasn't a Torah scholar. But for a Torah scholar, Rishut Yaskilavdi says, it says in Tanit Be'eliyahu Zuta, that Chacham Shemet ve'ein lanu tumurato ra'oi l'chol Yisrael hitonein la'ad ololnei olamim. That if you have a Torah scholar who has passed away, Chacham Shemet ve'ein lanu tumurato, and we do not have anybody to replace that person, so then all of the Jewish people should cry about it, think about it, talk about it forever, because they've lost something that is irreplaceable. Rav Dalev is not sure that he agrees. He says you could talk about whether or not that's fully true. There's what to discuss, but this is not the place to discuss his perspective. But it does point out, he says, that if the Hesped is not essentially about the person who passed away, it's not really a eulogy that so-and-so passed away, but it's a discussion of us and where we are now, that this great Torah scholar is no longer with us and we can't replace him. So that, there's no problem in discussing even after 12 months, because that's not a eulogy. So here's where sort of Halevi finds the back door to say that eulogies have many purposes. One of the purposes was maybe to give nachat ruach, to give comfort to the soul of the person who had passed away, that we remember them. Another possibility was to help us fully mourn the person. But all of those ideas go after 12 months. But when we want to reflect on what it is we no longer have, so that there seems to be no time limit to. And that's also shown by another source in the Gemara, which I think is relevant to remember and comes up in other contexts as well, which is the Gemara says, after whatever the time period is for mourning, the Gemara lays out, I think it's 3 for crying and 7 for hesped and 30 for refraining from certain things for most relatives, and then for parents it would be the rest of the year in terms of not going to areas of full simcha, not partaking of smachot in the wedding sense and all the things. The Gemara there says, "Mikan va'ilach amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, ein atem rechmanim bo yoter mimeni." Beyond that, Hashem says, you're no more compassionate towards this person than I am. So if we continue to mourn the person, it's like we're saying something, God forbid, blasphemous about Hashem and Hashem's justice and what Hashem has chosen to do with this person, therefore it's inappropriate. Meaning that Chazal were trying to walk the line between telling us we have to just accept Hashem's gerot, Hashem's decrees, and not mourn them at all. That extreme is not required of us. But the other extreme is also where we just say, Hashem, you know, where God forbid we would imply even that there's no justice in no way that Hashem did the right thing here, that's also problematic. So there's a rhythm to avelut, to mourning, and as that rhythm goes along, we're required to follow, we're required to attempt to follow that rhythm. So that would be true of the hespedim issue, the eulogy issue. So Rav Chaim David Levi says, but that would be dafka kasher mitablin, when people are still mourning, and their eulogy, the point of the eulogy, is to arouse people to cry and to have distress over the loss. That's the point of the eulogy. Just a reminder that would mean then, if somebody is eulogizing somebody at a funeral or soon after a funeral, that that's really what a eulogy is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be to raise, to bring to life the character of the person who was lost in such a way that the listeners are moved to even tears, right, are moved to tears over what has been lost, over the person who's been lost, over the family that is bearing this loss, over the Jewish people that are bearing this loss. So that's a lesson, sort of a hesped in general. And because that's the definition of a full hesped, that will give him room. Shekol she'ikaro, ha'ala'at zikro shel ha'manoach, v'yitachdudim zikro, al yidei ha'ala'at kavim l'dmuto. But if all we want to do is remember the person who passed away, and to get a fuller memory of that person by reminding of ourselves who we are, of who he was, that would be prohibited. In other words, he's gotten us to where I would have hoped we would have been at the start, which is that there's a difference between eulogizing. The point of eulogizing is as part of mourning a person, as part of crying over the loss of a person. And then there's remembering a person and fleshing out that memory as fully as possible. And that, he says, is perfectly acceptable even after 12 months, especially according to Tanit Be'eliyahu, that says that if it's a person, we don't have anybody to replace that person. And certainly with this Rav Tamar, you know, he was a Talmid Chacham, he was a Torah scholar, that we don't have anybody like him, and therefore he says he's going to give some aspects of his personality, and it's going to be from his Torah writings and his words of Torah. And he says, "Ki klal gadol hu." It's a great principle. If you want to meet, if you want to get to know somebody well, and he's left writings, study his writings, because that will give you the sense of the person and the person's soul in all of its senses. And then he closes the tshuva. V'chan hirchavnu hadava hadibor al yishiyuto midotav tovot va'atzilot geonuto batorah v'chule v'chule. And here we spoke at length about his personality and his character traits, his good character traits, and his nobility and his giant genius in Torah, etc., etc. And I confess that as I read the tshuva, which I think, and I hope you think, was interesting in terms of its Torah ideas, in terms of its sense of a eulogy and a reminder of what eulogies should be, and a reminder of the idea that mourning needs to be limited. It needs to be properly done at the time of mourning and then closed off as we come back to ourselves and come back to remembering that Hashem runs the world and there's a purpose and a reason to it all, and we don't have the right to judge it fully. We have the right to mourn, and then we have the right to, and then we have the responsibility to step back from mourning, and that will include eulogies. We have the right to eulogize most people during seven days, some great Torah scholars as much as for a year, but that after that, the eulogy aspect is no longer appropriate, and then reminding us, but there's other ways to remember somebody that aren't eulogies, especially people who we don't have anybody like them anymore. So having said all that about Rav Tamar, and I looked on the internet and he was really, it seems like a very tzedua person because I can't find that much about him. He had a, you know, a family and they seem to be all fine descendants. He seems to have raised the family well. He seems to be well respected. Other than going out and buying the seven volumes of Alei Tamar, if I could even find them, Rav Chaim David Levi, unfortunately, doesn't leave us with much more about Rav Tamar. His 8,000 volumes are in a library in Shiva Haritzion. I guess one option is to go there and to learn and study his Torah, the volumes that he used. But other than that, we're left in his memory, or as a part of him, is to know that Rav Chaim David Levi thought very highly of him and therefore allowed himself and found a way to allow himself to eulogize him, even though that had not been discussed, not eulogize him, to speak about him and to take Divrei Torah from his writings to lay out some of who he was. And we can only hope that that we merit such Torah scholars in our midst, both Rav Tamar and Rav Chaim David Levi, who will enlighten us always in many of the ways that we want to live Torah lives. And that is responsible today for the 17th of Elul, Rav Chaim David Levi, on the question of speaking about people and laying out their personalities after 12, more than 12 months after they have passed away. Have a great day.